Lord, thank you that in our understanding of what you are and what you've done, Lord, there's nothing else can compare to that, that the God who made the universe deigns to come and dwell in our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you're not just out there, but you're in here, within us, Lord, to help us, to strengthen us, to protect us, to help us to fight temptation, to give us the strength to do what's right, to give us the wisdom in the choices that we face in our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence by your Holy Spirit within us. And Lord, teach us to worship our Father and our God as we come together to worship together here. Lord, I pray for us as we look at your word in a few moments. Help us to understand, Lord, what you require of us. Lord, that we'll know the way you want us to live, the attitudes that you want us to have, Lord. Lord, those ways of doing it your way and not just the world's way. Oh Lord Jesus, squeeze us into your mould and help us to come out Jesus shaped as you work in our lives. Bless us, we pray, and thank you for your word. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I've got some questions as we go through. I'm not asking you to answer them now, but you think about them. And here's one from a few weeks ago. We read about how Judas went to the priests and made a deal with them. Obviously that was very hush-hush and top secret. Nobody wanted anybody else to know. But it's in the gospel. So the question I've asked you, if no one knew what Judas had done apart from the authorities, how did the gospel writers find out? There's a little thought for you. Right? How did they get to know? They did, because it's there. Maybe you can have a guess. Right, so let's have a look at our next picture, please, shall we? Right, well, it's a bit dull, isn't it? Luke chapter 22 and verses 21 to 38. This is all in the context of the Last Supper. Jesus is there with his disciples, but the strange thing is there's some funny things going on with the disciples. It's quite sad in a way to think that the most amazing thing that Jesus was about to do for them and had symbolised in the meal, they took the opportunity to fall out, argue, sort of misunderstand all sorts of things, just like disciples today. Isn't it strange, you know? We don't always quite get it right, do we? Well, they didn't get it right. So I hope that's an encouragement to us as well. But let's read chapter 22, verse 21, and it goes on like this. Jesus says, "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you'll deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied. That's a puzzle of a one as well. We'll see, anyway. Let's look at those verses. Different things happening during that time of the Last Supper. Strange business. Right, so Jesus says, the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. They were having a meal together. It was meant to be a family time. Meant to be a sharing together. Right? And he says, the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. He's talking about himself. You knew that though, didn't you? The Son of Man is Jesus' term for the Messiah. He is the Messiah. It's just they haven't quite got the message as to what the Messiah is and what the Messiah is going to do. They didn't have Jesus dying in their plan. Certainly Judas did. But the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. What does that mean? Decreed means it's in the plan. Yes. God's got it worked out. And Jesus is playing his part willingly and fully. Right. But woe to the man that betrays him. Well, what does that tell you? It was decreed. It's going to happen. But Judas is responsible. You can't have a woe to somebody unless they're responsible for the thing they're doing. That's how God works. There's a mystery, dear friends. God's in charge, and yet you are responsible for what you do. So don't start saying, I'm going to say to God, it's all your fault, and you made me do it. He's not going to wash. Judas, Jesus says, woe to that man who betrays him. In fact, Jesus is offering a warning there. He's saying, is this big trouble? Yeah? You think about it. Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus knows that Judas is the man who's plotting to betray Jesus. And in a sense, Jesus sort of spilling the beans in front of Judas and Jesus know, nobody else does, but spilling the beans in front of Judas is a sort of a way of saying is, don't do it. You know, there's another way. I'm sure Father could have found alternatives. Right? But Judas wasn't listening. So, you know, are you that sort of person that won't be told? We're all a bit like that sometimes, aren't we? But Judas wasn't listening. And Jesus is warning him. Next slide, please. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. They have no idea who was going to be responsible for this. You know, Judas had covered his tracks really well. They thought he was one of them. That's an awful warning, brothers and sisters. Are there any Judases here? I don't believe so. But you know your hearts and I know mine. And, you know, we need to know that we're right with the Lord. Judas wasn't with them. Although he looked so good, he covered it all. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? To pretend. I've got a question. I think that's the next one. Is it that one? Yes, it is. If no one knew it was Judas, that means he never confided in anybody about his problems. What might have happened if he had? See, nobody knew. Wait. They all had their problems in different ways. Judas had a problem with Jesus not being the kind of Messiah that he thought he ought to be. Well, John the Baptist had that problem, but he went and asked Jesus, are you the guy we're expecting or are you? At least he came out with it. Judas just covered it up and covered it up. There's the danger. And it's a particular problem for lads, I guess. You bottle things up, you hide things away until it all blows up. Well, there's a question for you. What might have happened if he'd gone to Jesus or to his mates and said, you know, I've got some real problems here. What do you think? Might have diffused it, might it? But anyway, that's the thought. Yeah, next slide, please. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. I am the greatest. But do you notice something about that typing? I am the greatest. What's the T shaped as? The cross. So it's not Muhammad Ali, it's Jesus we're talking about. He is the greatest. But they weren't thinking that, were they? They're disputing. I suspect it started when they turned it up into the room, you know. They had the tables laid out, right? And Jesus is sitting somewhere, so they all want to be next to Jesus, you know. Top seat, right? They're all squabbling about who gets the top spots. Isn't that sad? Yeah. But we do! Yeah? Why do they want the top seats? They were thinking about me, you know, out of the glory. I'm looking good. I'm better than them. Well, sad, isn't it? A dispute arose among them as to which was considered to be the greatest. Oh, dear. Well, if you're building the kingdom, I suggest you stop right now. Right? It's Jesus' kingdom we're in on, not yours. Because your kingdom's coming to nothing, I can assure you of that. Yeah? Right? It's not my church. It's God's church, right? And as long as we remember that, you know, we'll be in the right place. Yeah. So, wherever you sit, doesn't matter really, does it?
Yeah.
Because you're special to Jesus, whether you're at the end of the table or at the top. Doesn't matter really. You know, the world judges things in such a crazy way. Well, Jesus turns it all upside down. Next, please. Yes. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that." So, the boss men, you'll find this in the Navy, I'm afraid to say, but it's the way it works, yeah. In the world, we have hierarchies, don't we? And the guys at the top want you to know they're at the top and you're down there. Right? Yes? Bigfoot, yes. Just to let you know your place. You've got to know. You remember that cartoon with the three of them? Yes. I'm middle class. I look up to him because he's upper class. I look down at him because he's working class. And the one at the bottom says, "I know my place." Right? Of course. Well, that's the world's hierarchy. God does not operate in his kingdom like that. It's completely upside down, really, in many ways. He says, "You are not to be like that." You've got it? Right? It's okay if God puts you in positions of responsibility. That's good. Right? It's not there so you can wear a badge, so you can do a job. Yeah. Right? You can be a blessing to somebody else if he puts you in positions of responsibility. That's true as parents. God's given you the responsibility of kids. It's a terrible job to do, isn't it? Looking after kids, you only seem to get one shot at this thing. It doesn't seem to quite give you practice runs or anything. Yeah? That's a responsibility. It's not a position of power. It's a position of service, as Jesus shows us. Yeah? And it's true in all sorts of areas. Yeah? Right, so let's move on. We're not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Isn't that great, eh? Yeah? He's gone home to glory now, so you can't worry if you, I'll talk about it. Some of you might remember many years ago there was a doctor in town called Dr. Roger Moore. Great name, eh? Right? Yeah, the actor, Roger Moore. Roger Moore, dear Roger, yeah? And this was right near the beginning at the time the fellowship started. We met in the St. John's Ambulance Hall, which is on the site where Sainsbury's is now. We met in there. And we hired the hall, and every week we used to come in, sort of set up the chairs, and then when we finished, clear up, and after our drinking, our bath, you know, the required tea, you know. After that, we cleared up and we left, right? And during that time clearing up, Roger got hold of a broom, started sweeping the floor. And there was a man that had come along, he was one of the early visitors to our fellowship. He came along, and do you know what struck him most? Wasn't what I said, wasn't the singing, wasn't the tea. He was seeing this top man doing this job. Yeah. That really got to him. It did. And Roger wasn't out there to sort of evangelise. Interesting having evangelised with a broom, isn't it? Very strange. Because he was reflecting and showing kingdom values. Yeah? We're not here to be top dogs. We're here to serve. And that's what he's saying is, the value in Jesus' kingdom are very different. We need to learn those, brothers and sisters, because we're all infected with the way the world operates. Yeah? And they think you're crazy sometimes, but you know, don't worry. Be crazy for Jesus. Next slide, please. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Now, I love this. Do you know, Jesus had no self-image problem. Yeah? Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly how he fitted into the plan and the scheme of the Father. Yeah? Jesus had no problem with his self-image. That's often the problem why people do this hierarchy thing. You know, you're not comfortable with who you are, so you can't step off into some different area. You know, you have to maintain your image and your position, don't you? Yes? That's how they do it, yeah? And so Jesus says, who's greatest? Well, he's saying, I'm the greatest, yeah? But he doesn't say, I'm the greatest, all you lot start serving me. He says, but I'm as one among you who serves. Luke doesn't mention it, but what did Jesus done? He washed their feet. Now, who gets the job of washing the feet? The servant does. It's not a job for the top boss, you know. Washing feet. But what does he do? He says, I've done this to set you an example. Right? You know, helping somebody else that nobody thinks is important actually gains points with Father. Right? He sees that, and he thinks that's good. Okay, so, Jesus demonstrates, he didn't just talk about it, he did it. There's a challenge for you and me, eh?
Don't it?
Yes.
Can I just start? I think it's, I've learnt two things from this, for him to watch. But it's, you know, as well, it's not easy to have your feet washed.
Oh, that, yeah, they had problems. They had problems being served. That's sometimes it is as well, isn't it? Yeah. It's hard. Well, I'll ask you this. Yeah. Is it easier to give or to receive? To receive. Depends if you're needy enough, isn't it, really? Yeah. But if it's something that's a bit of a challenge to your pride, yeah, receiving is hard going. And you need to learn how to receive as well as to give, you know. So, anyway, there we are. Jesus demonstrates. He doesn't just say it, he does it. Praise the Lord. Next slide, please. So, question for you. Take this home with you. In what way does the Lord want us to serve one another? Now, I'm not into washing your feet, dear friends. Yeah? You know, go home and get a shower if you like. Yeah? Or whatever, yeah? But Jesus set that as an example. What does he want us to do in serving one another? You think about that. Now, next slide, please. You are those who stood by me in my trials. Now, Jesus is giving them a compliment. You know, right? Jesus gives compliments when they're right. You know, you're ones who've stood by me in my trials. Yeah? And it's his commendation is the one that counts. If Jesus says, well done, it doesn't matter if the whole of the world says rubbish. Yeah? If Jesus says, well done, that's the one that's going to count. Right? Okay, next up, please. I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, then he says to these disciples that are sitting with him, I've been given the kingdom by the Father. I'm going to delegate to you some of this blessing and this responsibility. So I'm conferring a kingdom on you. That's fellowship, isn't it? That they're there together, sharing in these responsibilities that Jesus has been given. He's sharing them out, yeah. And he says, you're going to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, what's that mean? That's an interesting thought there, you know. Right? To judge means to rule. It's not about sort of dishing out, you know, judgments on things. It's about ruling. Yeah? You're going to be responsible for running something. How about that? So he's giving them authority to do stuff. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Now, just one question though. How literal is Jesus about this? We'll have to wait and see. But I've got a thought struck me. Occasionally I haven't, you know. I was struck by this thought. Jesus is talking to 11 disciples, right? And he says, I confer on you a kingdom and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We're one short.
Yeah. What are you on about, Joseph?
The 12 tribes are the 12 tribes of Israel, yes. Yeah. But he's got 11 disciples and he's got 12 tribes.
He knows the one
he's going to visit. He's got one coming. Yeah. He's got another one coming. That's my thought anyway, yeah? Right? He's got another one planned. See, Jesus isn't looking at the cross, he's looking beyond. Right? Because it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He's looking beyond. And who's number 12? I think it's Paul. Yes. Right. Okay, next slide, please. So here you are. Does their promise apply to those apostles, or is there something in it for us? Is there the issue of fellowship and authority and responsibilities? Think about that one. You know, Jesus said that to those disciples. Can we take something from it as well? I believe you can. But you'll have to think about that one. Next slide, please. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Then I've got some African ladies sifting wheat. I'll tell you what, they give that wheat some welly. Right? To get that wheat out of the straw and the chaff requires a bit of hard labour. Yes? And Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon. Why does he call him Simon? Because he called him Peter. It's true. Peter is the Jewish. He didn't call him Peter, he called him Cephas. He called him the Jewish name. which is translated as Peter.
But the way you might talk to somebody a day, you know, you might somebody familiar to you, you might
have someone familiar to him, yes.
When you talk to him in a certain way.
Well, Jesus is talking to him in a certain way.
Yeah, that's why he's talking to him.
Simon, Simon's his old name, which is a reflection of saying your old nature is going to give you some problems.
Yeah.
Your old human nature is going to cause you problems, and he calls him Simon, Simon. Do you know what that? Why does he say it twice? It's attention, but it's also affection. It's affection, don't you? There's a poem by Robbie Burns, the culture for us this morning. Yeah. My love is like a red, red rose. Well, red, you only need one red, don't you? You've got the message. Why does he say red, red? Yeah. He splashes it across you to get your. It's not just to get your attention, it's to amplify it. And he's saying, Simon, Simon, he's almost as if he's embracing him, I think, with that phrase. Yeah? So he's talking to him, he says, Simon, you're a man, you're a human being, and Satan wants to have a go at you. He says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Now, the you there is plural. It wasn't just Simon he was wanting, he was wanting the rest of them. Remember, Judas, one down, 11 to go. That's his thinking. Yeah? Right? That's what he's thinking. One down, 11 to go. He says, ask, he can give you a thrashing. That's really what he's after, yeah? Sift you as wheat. Now, the strange thing is, permission was sought by Satan. And God gave them permission, gave him permission to give them a thrashing. What do you think to that?
To teach
him. What was he going to teach them?
Perseverance.
Perseverance.
He's got his own nature.
He's got his own nature. Peter needs, not just Peter, but the other disciples too. Remember, they've been talking about who's the greatest. Yeah? They're going to have to learn. If they're thinking about themselves and depending on their own strength, it's not going to work. Right? So the Lord allows, sorry to say this, brothers and sisters, the Lord can allow some very difficult problems in your life. It's only for me. Sure, it'll be for all of us, yeah? Yeah? He can allow some big problems in your life. It's not there to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. That's Satan's intention. One down, 11 to go. Right? He wants to sift you as wheat, and that can be a jolly difficult experience and problems to go through. But we need the next verse. Right. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. If you've got Jesus praying for your friends, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to win. Yes? If you've got Jesus on your side, you're in the winning position. Right? It may not seem easy, it may not be pleasant as it was going to be for Peter, but the good thing is when Jesus prays, it's not. What's the difference between Jesus praying and your praying?
He knows exactly what to pray.
He knows exactly what to pray, but there's something else about the attitude in which he prays. Jesus uses different words. When he says, I've asked for the Father. Right? When we ask, it's a petition, a request.
Yeah.
When Jesus asks, he's saying, this is what I want.
Yeah?
He's coming from a position of authority. He's talking with authority. Father, this is what's going to happen. We're going to make it work. When Jesus prays for you like that, friends, you're on good ground. Right? And we have that. And there's a lovely verse in Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Right? So he's able to keep you from falling. Does it mean to say he might allow you to get a bit of thrashing? Oh Lord, make it easy on me. Yeah, you say that, Lord, make it easy on me. I'm only little. Yeah, right. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. What's he wanting to hold? The thing that's important in you and me is God wants to see you trusting him.
Yeah.
It's your faith. Right? Trusting him. In spite of, through what, not, whatever. Do you know that brings the greatest glory to God that's possible? Right? When you trust him, when you can't see it. It will happen. He's going to do it. But that's what Abraham was commended for, his faith. Here's an old man, his body effectively gone, his missus way past having children, and God says to him, Abraham, you're going to have a son. He says, Abraham, believe God. He looked at the evidence, thought, complete rubbish. And he looked at God, he thought, he's going to do it. So, I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Next slide, please. Right. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Isn't that a promise? He's going to get through it. When you've turned back, so recovery's on the way, strengthen your brothers. The promise of restoration and work to do. That, I've never thought of this before. I keep thinking of new things I've read in my Bible. It's good, it's lovely. Yeah. I wonder if Peter remembered that. Remember, he's going to blow it. He's going to deny Jesus. He's going to really hit rock bottom. I wonder if those words came to mind. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is saying is, I've not finished with you, Peter. I've got work for you to do after this episode. That's a promise. Yeah? Don't we need the promises when we're in a really good situation? I don't know if Peter did that. He should have. Because when Jesus said it, he means it. When you turn back, strengthen your brothers. God's word gives us hope. That's a wonderful thing. Next one, please. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Ta-da! Yes, Superman. Right. And do you know he meant it? He really meant it. That's Peter for you. Peter, bless him. He's got big feet. He put them in very quickly, you know. Yeah, they've heard. Have you heard? Foot and mouth disease, he had. Yeah, put his foot in his mouth quite often. But Peter really meant it. His heart's right in that sense. But he doesn't know himself. He doesn't know himself. And when you're caught off guard, you can do some stupid things. Peter's going to get caught off guard. He's got the devil on his tail. Yeah? Right. So, there he's Superman. Well, maybe not. I'm ready. I'm willing. Yeah, the Lord says, I know you are, Peter. But I've got news for you. Next one, please. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you'll deny three times that you know me. Mm. Notice he uses the word Peter there. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus called him Peter. You're Peter. Da-da! Right, Rockman. That's what Peter means. Rocky. Call him Rocky. Well, Rocky, you're going to go on the rocks today, I'm telling you. Right? Before the cock crows, that's before the morning arrives. You got that, yeah? Before the cock crows, you'll deny three times that you know me. We'll be reading some of that later on, I guess. Yeah? Right, there you are. Nice cock crow, do you like it? Yes, magnificent. We don't hear them very much nowadays, do we? Unless you're living up well in places like that. You know. Yes, right, next then, please. Question. Just a thought. Peter, chew over. How do you think Peter felt later on when he heard a cock crowing? Do you know, when you've eaten something, and it's got nothing to do with you being ill, but if you've eaten something and then you're violently sick afterwards, you can't eat that thing for ages. You notice that?
Yeah.
There's an association between one and the other, that whether it's a real association or not, it may not have been the sausages you ate that made you sick, but sausages can make you feel sick just looking at them for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder... Now, I've got an answer to this, so I'm not going to tell you, though, but I wonder, I don't think that was true for Peter. When he heard the cock crow, he didn't think, "Ah, who will stop there?" Right. They said, please, you think about it. Right. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without a purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered there. You remember when Jesus sent them out on the mission in Israel to go and visit the communities, tell people about the good news? He said, pray for them. Deal with them, minister, drive out demons, heal the sick, and so on. And they went out in a fantastic time. Really wonderful, right? He says, so when I sent you out like that, and I sent you out without any preparations, stuff to keep you going, did you survive? And the answer is, yes, it is. Yes, great. Next thing, please. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. What's Jesus saying? I've written it out for you. The times, they are changing. Yes. What Jesus means is, you know, the reception you'll be getting in the future wasn't quite like the one you got when you went out first. You know? What's going to happen is, they're not going to be quite so welcoming. They might even turn around and nasty. Right? So the times are changing. So you're going to have to change with them. And the other thing is that Jesus is not going to be with them in the physical sense that he was before. So, all things are changing, so the situation has to change as well. So, let's have a look at our next one. So, what do purse, bag and sword represent for us today? He says, I sent you out without these, but now, if you've got them, or if you haven't got them, get them. Get a purse, get a sword, get a bag. What does it mean? Have you got a sword, a purse, and a bag?
Armour of God.
Armour of God.
You're going to go travelling.
When you go travelling? When you evangelise it, but what's it mean? Having a sword, a purse, and a bag?
Be prepared. Everything that
you know. Be prepared. That's about the best way of summing it up. Be prepared. For any eventuality. Yes. Okay. Yeah, you can think about that one. I'll just ask you. Do an inventory in your house. Have you got a sword, a purse, and a bag? Anyway, next one, please. It is written, he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfilment. Yeah? Jesus says it's in the plan. Right? It's written in the book. That tells you the Bible isn't just a collection of nice thoughts. It's God's word. It's written down. It's in the plan. God has revealed it in his word. And Jesus says, mustn't it be strange for Jesus to read his Bible and think, that's me. Coming. That's going to happen. Yeah? Anyway. It must be fulfilled. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. It's all coming to a head. Right, next one, please. The disciple said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied. Right? So the disciples, when Jesus says, have you got a cloak, sell it, and get some swords. And the disciples said, oh, it just so happens we've got two swords here. And Jesus says, that's enough. What does he mean? What does he mean by that's enough? That's all you'll need. That's one way of interpreting it. Right? That's all you'll need. Right? What's another way of interpreting it? You don't need any of that. What Jesus...
I think he's doing what you said to us. Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. Jesus is saying... I understand it as this, right? Jesus is saying is, you haven't got the point at all. That's enough. Stop. Stop. Right? Yeah? I'm not on about... physical swords. Yeah? Yeah? Just like when the disciples were talking about the bread. Jesus says, avoid the yeast of the Pharisees. And they say, we haven't got any bread with us. And Jesus says, I'm not talking about bread. I'll fed you out there. 6,000, 4,000, 5,000. No problem about making bread. I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the Pharisees' yeast, which is their hypocrisy. Don't swallow that stuff. And I think what Jesus is saying is here, we're not talking about swords, we're talking about how to defend yourself. Right? And that doesn't mean start sticking holes in people and things like that. Right? So you need to be wise, is what we're getting at. So let's have a look at our little... I've got another question, I think, yeah? No, that, this is it. Last thing. Practical lessons, right? You're going to take all these home with you and begin to apply them. Hope so for all of us. Some practical lessons from what we've looked at. Are you hiding from others what Jesus knows? That's Judas, yeah? Are you hiding from others what Jesus knows? Get it right. Put things right in your heart and with the Lord. Talk to him about it first, of course. Right? Next one. He is the greatest and the most humble. So we better start copying him, haven't we? He's your example. He's your role model. Do you want a good role model? Jesus is it. Right. Nice one there. Faithfulness has its rewards. Yes? He says, you stood by me, right? I confirmed you a kingdom. Right? Faithfulness has its rewards. Mind you, not, are you working for rewards? Well, it's nice to know that it's appreciated what you do, yeah? But we're working because it's right and it's for Jesus. Yes? But persevere and work. You've got work to do for Jesus. Right? That's good. Carry on. Yes. Peter. Peter. Simon. How well do you know yourself? Right. How well do you know yourself? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. We think we know ourselves until somebody comes up and then you say, oh dear, I never thought I'd do that. But, yeah. Psalm 139 again. We had it the other week. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Right? So ask God to. I would encourage you though, ask God to do it little by little. Yeah. Lord, I know there's things that need improving and probably need changing, Lord. Show me a bit at a time, because otherwise I'm likely to feel rather squashed. Yeah. Well, God's good. He is good, I know that, yeah. Right, and then Christian, spiritual common sense is necessary to live in this world today. Purse, bag, sandals, sword, you need common sense to live in our world today, where they're not all friendly towards God. Yeah? To be as nice as anything, but you mention God, and all of a sudden, the hostility rises. Strange, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, if you need that sort of help, ask God for some. He's the supplier for plenty as well. So praise the Lord for that. I think that's it. Is that it? Yes. Right, so before we come to break bread, we're going to sing a song. We're going to pray first, eh? Lord, all that stuff was going on as you were there showing the disciples you were about to die for them. Lord, I know they're just like us, Lord. That's an encouragement in a sense, Lord, that what you made out of them, that rabble, really, Lord, what you made out of them was something beautiful, something good. Lord, as we sang that song earlier, Lord, thank you, you're doing that in our lives, making something beautiful, something good out of us. There aren't really much material to work on, but Lord, you're the master craftsman. Thank you for that. And so we pray for ourselves, Lord, help us not to be self-deceived or seek to deceive others. Help us, Lord, to realise that as we work and persevere in your kingdom, Lord, there's a blessing on the way. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the greatest. Lord, and we want to follow you. And Lord, to be like you and learn how to serve like you. Help us, we pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.